Okay, thank you for coming, all of you. My topic is the strength and weaknesses of boards. Undoubtedly, God has used and is using boards to effectively lead and bless schools. In what areas does management by boards excel? How do we capitalize on the strengths of the board leadership model? But why are there so many jokes about boards? So I don't have a lot of experience being on the school board. This is my third year, but I'm enjoying it so far, and I think it's a very important piece of a community, and I'm happy to do it. But I have spent quite a bit of time on an executive team and also a board of directors of a company. And I want to draw from some of those experiences and share some of that with you all. I think it does cross over quite a bit. Just a bit of background on that. We started out as a bit disjointed, related group of companies working together. It was my dad's vision. And it worked well, but at some point, to better, make things kind of work and flow better, we decided that it'd be time to formalize founding a board and start a formal meeting schedule and learn to work as a team. And that took us farmers some time. We enjoyed the process, but it is a process of learning how to do that, and we brought in a few experienced outsiders who taught us how to have successful meetings and better ways of communicating in general. So the outline I've prepared today is I want to go through this in a very informative but also optimistic way. And hopefully give you a few nuggets to remember in brethren's meetings, in school board setting, or just in your marriage or family setting. I think some of these ideas just cross over well in being a good communicator or getting together on a team of any team. So starting with the strength and weakness of founder management, which probably most of us are familiar with or come from. The strength of a board, weakness of a board, meetings and how to make them profitable instead of the butt of the joke, board membership, personal responsibility and opportunity, after the meeting, sharing the load and getting things done, and then just some practical tips, helps, and ideas for being a better board member. And I would like help from all of you at the end. I would like to learn at today and take away some of your thoughts of how, hopefully there's some more experienced people in here, how it's gone for you and what we can all learn together. So starting with the strength and weakness of founder management. If we ran things all by ourselves, and I wanted to start to think about, how would we view things if we didn't have other people involved? What if I ran the whole school? I can tell you that the curriculum would probably be a bit weak. Like, I have never read many of our curriculum books. I have some experience, but not a lot. I've obviously gone through Mennonite school, but I rely on some people in my church to know the curriculum much better than me. I wouldn't be very good at fixing sweepers. For some reason, our school, we have a lot of sweepers that break. And somebody always fixes them, but it's never me. And etc. I think that some things would probably be pretty done well. Hopefully lots of them. But I think it's interesting just to think about that. What if you were the only one in your school? And you can kind of start to see how well having a team, especially in something as important as a school, is very, very important, just so you do the job well. So, strengths of the founder management. It's simpler to solidify your strategy and vision because it's personal to you. What am I going to do, and what am I going to do, and why am I going to do it? Make long-term and important decisions quickly from the seat of the pickup off, and you can decide what you're going to do and how you're going to make things happen. It doesn't take a lot of time. And if something isn't working, you can do something else. There's lots of jobs for able-bodied people, and it doesn't take long to pivot. Implementation of new ideas is a lot easier and more efficient because they're your ideas and nobody is really bucking them. It's obvious, but wanted to point it out. Communication, while still a difficult task, is often more direct and less possible to avoid with your staff members. If you don't tell them what they're doing that morning, they don't do anything. They ask you again. And personnel decisions are up to you, and if you can't work with someone, you don't have to hire them. So I would say some of those are strengths. Or maybe it would be better to say ways that it's easier. And some of the weaknesses, obviously the lack of breadth of experience. You don't, like I mentioned, I'm not necessarily a curriculum person, but by having other folks in our school board, we're able to cover that. Another weakness is overcoming the vulnerabilities of the founder, such as hastiness or micromanagement or lack of detail or poor strategic planning. It's up to you, and if you're not good at it, it might not happen at all. So pivoting from that into doing something of lasting value with a team of other people. The strength of a board. So you can draw on a wide variety of experience and perspectives. And I thought I would highlight a few of those. You know, you could have operations folks, often includes people who can follow through with tasks or good at making things happen or keeping things working, like the sweepers. You will often include church leaders, or I think Mennonite school boards always include their church leaders. And you'll have a spiritual input in your school. Connect the board with, you know, better communication about the culture of the church and where we are headed as an overall brotherhood and things like that. That's a strength of a board, especially a school board, Mennonite school board. And then you often have someone who is good at detail, someone who is the memory bank of the school, remembered what you did last year and why, and have a data-driven mind. So if, depending which one of those you are, you probably consider that maybe more important or maybe less important, depending on your view of yourself. But having all of those things is important to a good team and a good school. Another strength of a board, I think, is slow and considered opinions, less likely to change abruptly. So it takes a while to get people on board with something new, some new curriculum, or a different way of doing things. I view that as a strength of a board. Another strength is lots of horsepower. You can do a big job. You can do things, you know, many of us, or all of us, are volunteers on our school boards. And by sharing the work, you have the ability to do lots of important work. And then another key strength that I want to highlight is the variety of connections within the community. So that goes for teachers and parents, and we're not all friends with the same people, we're not all close to the same people. Having that group effort in relationships is really important. And effective school boards have a trusting and collaborative relationship with both the staff and the parents, and establish strong communication structure to inform and engage the community. Having your community's buy-in to the school is not easily replaced when lost, and is one of the most important things you can do for your school. So having everyone's help on the school board, bringing folks along and communicating well, is obviously very, very important. So what are the weaknesses of a board? Having time set aside annually for sparking, implementing, and keeping a strong and lasting vision. And I want to spend a bit of time enlarging on this vision topic because it's close to my heart and it doesn't really fit anywhere else later in this discussion. So I'm on a bit of a tangent here, but we can spark a lasting vision. We can be thoughtful in our approach of doing this often or more often than we kind of think about. And most businesses do this, and I think it's an interesting crossover from business to school. You could ask questions like, vision questions you could ask are, what are our goals for this year, before every school year? You could formally ask the question after each school year, such as, what went poorly? What can we do better? Being focused on your culture and your vision helps you communicate well with career teachers, and they want to join your vision. They appreciate that it's thoughtful and that you're trying to do things that are long-term and lasting. And most career teachers are doing it because they're that type of person anyway. And being able to communicate that part of it with them is really important. That goes for families. You know, in your communication with the families and as a school board, you can have an eye towards, this is just a quick term of service for someone, or this is something we want to do with excellence for a really long time. How do we do that? And I would say the weakness involved with this, why I went on that tangent, is it takes time. It's pretty hard for a bunch of volunteers to be able to spend the kind of time it takes to do this well, but I think asking some good questions can help a lot. Another weakness of a board is the slow pace. Sometimes grinding to a halt. Scheduling, disagreements, lack of energy. There's a lot of things that make things stop. And it can be especially daunting to certain personalities, people who are get-it-done people, as we'll talk about later. Another weakness of a board and of any group of people is difficulty staying on the same page. So you'll have varying opinions, and it takes some effort to change your opinions and also work on other people's opinions so that everybody can have a cohesive and useful engagement and you stay on the same page. Another weakness of a board, and especially a voluntary board, is lack of execution. Many things are easy to talk about, but hard to actually do. Another weakness of a board is death by meeting. The job becomes to meet about the job instead of actually doing the job, and progress starts to flag. Meetings become difficult to attend for some personality types and easy to skip. If we're not going to do anything, why are we here? And I think death by meeting is an interesting one. Think about that in if you serve on a voluntary board. Do you think about the job that you're doing, or is meeting about the job kind of as far as you get? That's a personal responsibility you can take. And then you can have an echo chamber of communication. This might be especially in business, but I think it also happens in school boards. Meaning teachers and parents are just poorly informed and possibly not even on the same page as the board. You might have a meeting, you might discuss things, you might have an agenda and be making progress, and nobody will know. You have to be thoughtful and make that happen. That doesn't happen on its own. And this includes actively listening. And this is probably one that's maybe controversial, I don't know, but I hope not. Listening to your teachers can be so helpful, especially in my case. I've had very experienced teachers, and I was an inexperienced school board member. So being able to listen and understand what we're trying to do and joining a vision that was already being carried was very, very helpful to me. Our experienced teachers that we've been blessed to have there in Walla Walla, had quite a bit of input in my life, and I think that was very, very valuable. And I think sometimes we, just a second. I lost my mouse, so I'm not sure. Pause. There it is.
Where did it go?
Give me a second. Okay, there we go. Sorry, I need to be able to use my mouse to see my notes. I think that's enough on the echo chamber of communication. But I think, you know, things you can do is just be thoughtful and do it on purpose. Spend some time communicating with those around you as often as you can. So, meetings. How to have useful meetings. There's a quiz, and I adapted it from the book Death by Meeting, added a little to it, but it's a book by Patrick Lencioni, and he has a quiz in there that you can take as a board or as a group to kind of learn some interesting things. And some of this, you know, hopefully none of our boards struggle with some of this, but a few of these are very poignant. So, are your meetings dull and uninspiring? How would you answer that? Do team members question the usefulness of meetings? Why are we here? Most Anabaptists are too diplomatic to be this blunt about school board meetings, but they might be wondering it internally. Are critical issues avoided or overlooked during meetings? How about that one? Does it seem that you save all the important or difficult things for the chairman to handle or an experienced board member to handle out on their own? Or can you have conflicting discussions or debates about things that are important without causing hard feelings and making it rough on each other? Are you able to solve critical issues together? That's a good one to think about. Do team members complain about having to attend meetings? Do you find that meetings end without resolution of critical issues? I would think this is probably the most common one, if I'd have to guess, for our school board meeting, just because, again, they're voluntary, it takes time, and I think there's some things that this tends to happen. So do you leave without knowing what is expected and what to research? I don't know what I'm doing by next meeting. Find yourself doing that. Do you know when and to who important tasks were assigned? So, what can you do? To help make meetings as just a member, what can you do to make meetings more useful? Come prepared. Where were we last time and what is the agenda? Especially in a long agenda or a business setting, having the agenda, knowing what you're talking about, thinking it through, and having that beforehand can help you have a much more useful meeting. Help remember topics and questions and maintain the thread of communication. Basically, be good at conversation. And what did this person say who doesn't usually say very much? What did that person say and why? And is it important? Probably it is. Let's remember it. Make sure he was heard and make sure that was entered into the overall discussion well. And then use the time respectfully. It is, if you move things along and are aware and respectful of other people's time, you can make a group much more effective at having meetings. Did any of those points resonate with you? Did you struggle with any of them? Okay, good. So, board membership, personal responsibility, and opportunity. How can I build up the effectiveness of our team? So, speaking in generalities here, I want to tell a bit of a story. And obviously, people are complex, and nobody fits exactly in the boxes that I have here. But you can imagine yourself in this situation. And you'll probably see some things where you have some tendencies at very least. Or imagine your spouse, imagine somebody you know who you've worked with a lot, Or imagine somebody you struggle with and see where they fit in these boxes. So, four random people were asked to take a bus to Florida. I don't know how many of you have heard this illustration, but they just were asked, okay, you four, take a bus to Florida. So you might have an action person, someone who leads with action. They might, you know, all the way at the extreme, jump in the bus and be ready to leave. Start the engine, I'm driving, let's go. We were told to go to Florida. Why are we still standing around? So we'll call this the get the job done guy, or a type A personality, and he will often use the pronoun I. I am ready to leave. So then we have someone we would call the reason person. Where is Florida? And what route are we taking to get there? And do we have gas? And do we have a map? Which route are we taking? There's many different ways to Florida. And what's our schedule? When are we trying to be there by? And they will think of things in lists and tasks, and they will use the pronoun it. And you're likely a combination of these things, as I said before, but all the details going into Florida, we can't just leave. That's ridiculous. Type A personality, you are not a good person. You have no detail. So then we have one that we can call excellence. So this is the wonderful trip guy. Do what is best. So great snacks, the best drinks, good music, the best restaurants on the way, hotels with a swimming pool. Let's do this correctly. Let's do it right. Let's have a great time and let's be excellent at driving to Florida. And they might use the pronoun we. How are we going to be the best that's ever done a trip to Florida? Then you might have the everyone gets along guy. We can call him Harmony. So they'll want to know people. They'll want to get along. They might sit in between the action and the detail person and kind of make sure they don't talk too much or get too rough and don't grate on each other's nerves. And they will tell some fun stories. They'll have long conversations, be a great listener, and let the other people pick the restaurant. Might have a struggle picking their food off the menu. And they might be one of the most important people to have on your journey. I say that because that might be the person I need the most on my team. That's the one that for action and reason people, which I definitely tend towards both of those, I need that person to come along with me. And I also need, it's easier for me to do it excellently with detail and action, but bringing my empathy along has always been a struggle for me. So you can see how these four people, when they actually understand each other, and have taken the time to get to know each other, could be a wonderful team. So what is the opportunity here? So you can identify your own tendencies. Say, okay, I'm an action person, or I'm a reason person. And you can identify the tendencies of those around you. And it's not always possible to quite get it all the way done, but you probably know intuitively, pretty quickly, who these people are. And then you can identify the void in a group. Often on a school board, that's all men, we probably have a void somewhere. And if you can be thoughtful and useful enough to fill that void, you can help make a team successful no matter what is missing. And you can't be completely successful because I never will be completely empathetic. But I've worked on it the most of anything that I've worked on in my life. Or of these things, anyway. So, filling that gap. Let's just think about it again, just to reiterate. What if everyone was a Leave for Florida All-Star Action guy? I mean, in a business, you likely tend to hiring people who are like you. If you get four or five action people, nobody does the detail ever because you haven't learned to work with them. It's a pain. It's annoying to someone who's ready to go. We can't just sit here and talk and converse forever. We need to leave to Florida. That's the job. Let's do the job. What if everyone was a sit-around-and-talk adaptable person? And if that's who you are, what if everybody was like you? You often kind of probably think, man, that reprobate, the action person, they are not, they're barely even Christian. They are hard to get along with. And it's true. We are. But you can't just sit here all day. Or what if everyone was quiet, reserved, and trusting? And you get the point. If everyone was methodical, steadfast, detail-oriented. So, a word of wisdom. Lean into the strengths of the people who initially upset you instead of letting them irk you. If everything they do seems wrong-footed for you, it's worth pondering if they just might be an exceptional teammate for you. If they're pretty annoying, they might be the exact person you need on your team. So after the meeting, sharing the load and getting things done. So I think this has to do with the actual nuts and bolts of having a being a board member. So share the load. Help by picking up some of the leftover tasks after the rest of the group has shown how they are willing to help or have picked a task. Draw out others. Sometimes a person with the most experience and most to offer at something won't share because they would rather defer to others. Drawing those people out is imperative to getting the best result. As we talked about before, some people are better at mechanical issues. Some people are better at curriculum. Some people are good at moving discussions forward. Some people are good at making sure people are heard and valued. Taking time to think through skill sets and being conscious of the mindset you are approaching something with can give you a certain amount of purpose in how and when you will act or speak and be a valuable board member. So, for a task-oriented person, it's probably best if you as a group have a chance after each meeting to decide, you know, the open items. So, there's this simple but elegant question that a friend of mine who is a very detail-oriented person told me that I've remembered since and want to share with you. If you just add this one question to your board meetings, I'm pretty sure it will help almost every board. But just ask the question, who is doing what by when? And it can help you feel like you've accomplished something in that meeting. Otherwise, for a task-oriented person like me, we just met. We had a nice conversation, but I don't know what we're doing. I actually need to know that something is going to be moved forward if there's something that had to be moved forward. If there wasn't, likely you didn't need the meeting. So who is doing what by when? And then another thing you can work on all the time, and I wanted to highlight this again, is build relationships and community trust. For someone who is good at building teacher trust and community relationships, it can be vital to give them the space to talk, to let everyone know what they are hearing. So I just think it's important. Hey, you have a lot of connections within the community. You're good at, you know, connections, especially for someone who isn't as empathetic. What have you been hearing? Is it going well? Do people enjoy how it's been working? Is there something we need to improve on? Is something really failing? Building those relationships specifically for people who aren't good at it can really help you. And just being, again, thoughtful and doing it on purpose, purposeful about it, can help you. So I wanted to also share some really practical tips and help and ideas for being a better board member here at the end. And I would like to have you guys add to this list or weigh in on anything else that was presented here at the end of this. So you can pray for wisdom. Wisdom is a beautiful thing. It's a good pursuit for your life. You can bring good food and coffee. It helps. Just because you're the most experienced member or chairman doesn't mean you should do everything. Divide the work. This goes for members' wives as well. Let everyone have a turn at leading something. Planning menus, doing things that are mundane or ordinary. Divide the work. You don't have to do the whole job. So divide the work. Listen and pay attention to what is happening at school with an eye toward being helpful. Pay attention. What is going on? How are people behaving? Is this school year going well? Who needs help? How can I help? But be optimistic. You don't have to be critical to pay attention. You don't have to micromanage or second guess everything. Paying attention is really useful, though, if you're a helpful person and you're optimistic and useful once you figure out what needs help, what is being missed. Maybe my brothers and I need these more than just the average person, but there's some really good ones here that we've learned. Don't interrupt each other in meetings, especially someone inexperienced. You can unintentionally throttle them. If they're easy to interrupt, they're probably the exact person you should not interrupt. Reserve judgment for the facts to come out fully and let people finish their point in tense situations. Work to de-escalate parent-teacher communication problems. But just letting people finish, not coming up with the answer mid-speech, often they are able to communicate the problem with their, you know, they're able to see things. You don't have to point everything out to people if you just let them keep communicating. So reserve judgment for facts that come out fully. Be gentle. Be concise. Talk forever. Make your point. Learn to communicate quickly and make your point well, and then let other people speak. Be encouraging and optimistic. It's almost always more useful and more pragmatic to be encouraging. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have to. Okay, this really must stop. We want to discourage this. But the vast majority of time, it's actually more helpful to encourage people. Attack the point by using careful language instead of attacking the person by using personalized language. Do this in brothers' meeting. Do this on purpose. They can make a bad point and still be a very good person. Attack the point. Stop in and talk to your teachers. Do it informally, do it wholeheartedly. It can be fun, it can be really useful. I'm not as good at this as some of the others are in my school board, but it's a good thing to do, and I've enjoyed it every time I've done it. I've never regretted it. Meet in person about difficult issues. My generation tends to text much more than we should. If it's difficult and easy to be misunderstood, it's probably more easy to be misunderstood when you're texting about it. Have meetings in person is hard. It's confrontational, especially for half of us who don't like conflict. That's a lot harder than sending a quick text message and not being honest with yourself and with them. Speak up when troubled. I think sometimes if you're actually have, most times if you're actually troubled about something that's going on, you actually should speak up. Trust the people you're working with enough to say something. If there's somebody's behavior you're worried about, if there's something, you know, a teacher might be failing, speak up. Again, you don't have to be critical. Just ask questions and be helpful and be fair and be kind. And then don't place people in a box forever. Sometimes the people whose style is disagreeable to you can help you the most. And I think that's worth just remembering. People change. I heard a really interesting quote recently. people are more like rivers than they are like the rocks in the rivers. We tend to imagine people as rocks. This person will never change. This person is, I dislike him. He's not useful. But they change. And if you're pragmatic, you can help them change to something that is good. And that's a really good thing to do. Just don't put people in boxes forever. So that's my thoughts. And this is much quicker than, actually, not too bad. I thought I was going to have a really short talk, but that was longer than I thought. What would you add as thoughts or practical tips, things you've learned in your experiences? There's some very experienced board members in here. What would you add? I'd love to hear from you.
I'd like to hear some discussion on the phenomena when you made the decision and then you realize you didn't quite have all the facts. And then what do you do? I guess as a, I'm speaking more from a teacher perspective because I've taught probably four times in the years that I was on the board. But to me as a teacher, that was always really perplexing when the board would come back with a decision and say, well, dude, what about doesn't so? They go, oh man, we didn't do that. And then they went there and did it. And now that I'm a board member, I sense the same tendency. I don't really know what's going on.
What do you think? Should a board have a reverse?
Well, there are two ditches. One is a hasty decision. The other one is paralysis by analysis. And I suppose the board has to find their way somewhere.
But then that concerns a lack of information, right?
It is. Are
teachers involved in board meetings in your schools? Are all decisions in ours that are not?
They're not.
Correct. Okay. Or not necessarily. I mean, they're just, we talk to the teachers, but then we don't, our actual board meeting is not with the teachers.
Right, that's ours.
Is that a generational thing or is that a difference in practice? I'm not quite sure. Would you invite your teachers to speak in board meetings, especially experienced teachers? And if not, why not?
In ours, we would definitely inform them and listen to their thoughts, and then, but they're not involved in the answer.
Meaning they're in a separate room, or they go home, or meaning they don't have a vote.
We actually make a decision, they're not usually.
Okay.
There's some decisions sometimes where teachers just want the board to make a decision. Then there's other decisions that need to be made. Situations where there may be behavioral issues in a classroom, or somebody has an improper relationship or something, the teacher knows more about what's going on than the school board does. And in those situations, I bring the teacher, maybe it's just one of them. I'll say, you know, all you teachers are excused except Leroy, I want you to stay for a bit, you know. And then he helps us make a decision about that. And to me, that's important because he knows more what's going on than what we do at the board.
Okay, other thoughts?
For the teacher to enforce that decision, he must have buy-in. He must have, for a board to say, you must do this, that's the board's word. If the teacher doesn't agree with the decision. He doesn't understand that. That's meaningless. I'm not a teacher. But I would be a teacher if the board tells me to do this and I disagree. It's going to be really hard.
Well, I think that's one of the values in having them there so that they can hear the discussion while they help the decision.
Again, I think just the communication part of that. I don't know if it completely matters how you do it, but bringing them along with you versus dictating, I think in most situations would work better. Not all. I mean, there's some times where you just have to tell somebody to stop it. But in most everyday school life, I think, for me, bringing my experienced teacher along and asking him or her about the situation has been very helpful to me. Other thoughts on it? Disagree, agree?
Does it not work out the same as a business in which, you know, as the boss, you have the vision of what you want? Like, you need these hired individuals to help you get that done. And you will sit down and have a tailgate meeting or whatever in order to keep everybody united and on board with what's going on. But finally, at the end of the day, the hired individuals that you may have will be getting the job done. And as the visionary, you go around the community to make sure that this is happening properly.
So you could view the school teachers as employees to the boss, or you could view them as, and this sounds a bit modern and puffy and pink, but you could view them as important teammates, people who can help you build your vision, in many cases better than you can, with a lot more knowledge about much of the stuff that you're talking about than you can. So if you don't know how to do it, think curriculum, maybe. If you haven't read the book, but you make the decision because of a certain amount of guilt or I'm the boss, you make poor decisions by leaving them out versus being teammates with them. And I think there are cases, in my opinion, I think there are cases where you do probably have to dictate, but anyway. What are some other things?
Just a little more on that. I think a teacher has plenty to do, and sometimes they don't want to have to make decisions. I think that was referenced a little bit. And they do appreciate just not having to make those decisions. Tell me if you don't. Let us know. And the flip side of that is, especially an experienced teacher has learned, if they know what to do, they're just not going to bring it up to waste 45 minutes of discussion. They'll just do it. And so if they bring something up to the board, they want you to take care of that, so they don't have to deal with it. At our school, which is the same as David's school, it's actually kind of a hybrid where the teachers are invited to the meeting. We try to have the meetings soon after school dismisses. The teachers come in, they're there for a while, and then they're dismissed, and the board goes on and has an board-only meeting, which seems to work fairly well.
Mm-hmm. Almost like an open-door policy or something in a business. People are welcome to weigh in, you just...
On the thought of making a decision and realizing later we didn't have all the facts, I think a secure school board or a secure board is open to back it up. In the interviews, if they're insecure, they're not sure where they're going, they typically at that point is when they don't want to back up. But we're all, none of us are gods.
And it often happens in the most difficult situations where a parent and a teacher aren't getting along. And somebody's wrong, and yeah, it's sometimes hard to know. It just is. We pray for wisdom at the beginning. Another 30 seconds left here, but...
I had a little example on that. We had a situation recently, and so we were starting to form our opinions as a board, and when we were finally able to get a meeting with the teachers and everything together, one of the first questions that was asked was, have you discussed this problem with the parents or the guardians? No. Well, for us to make a decision until that was done, that situation probably could have been avoided or been taken care of much quicker if that would have been done. So, whenever there's, before we make a decision, we need to be very careful in making sure that all the groundwork is done. That we do what we are doing, we can make mistakes. Then when we need to back up.
Okay, well, thank you all. Thank you for attending this, and I wish you all the best in your schools.